is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano.
A girl has found another and gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano broadcasting live from Cardo Glennon Children's Hospital, site of the Ryan Kelly Radiothon. If you'd like to contribute, just pick up the phone, 781-9700, 781-9700, and make a contribution. Winning Streak is one of our great sponsors. If you are looking for uniforms, if you're looking for polos at work, or maybe pullovers, 888-570-6194. The service is just incredible. They come to you. They have this incredible facility in Dupo, Illinois. They make them there, then they bring them right back to you. They have all the great brands, including the best brand there is right now, Adidas. 888-570-6194. Nobody quite like Winning Streak. Go to their website. Find out more information about that great company. All right, let's welcome to the program our good friend Dave Matter. Dave, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Good, Frank. How are you?
Very good. One of these segments, we are going to do a special segment just on the book. And I've gotten the book. Haven't had a chance to delve into it yet. We had Gary Pinko on last week to talk about it. All I can say, it's a great-looking book, and there's some really, I mean, I can't believe how much Pinko opened up with you in this book. You should be really proud about it. When has it actually, when would it actually be sold in bookstores?
Official release date is September 15th, so next week. And, and then it should be available all over the state of Missouri. You can order it now on Amazon, TriumphBooks.com, Barnes & Noble, or pretty much everywhere you can order books. But September 15th, it will be out on the shelves for sure.
All right, we're going to do a special segment just on the book coming up in the near future, but it looks outstanding. All right, so much to discuss. First of all, I'd love to know, like, the atmosphere in the press box as the defense was getting just lit up in that first half. What was that like up there in Columbia on Saturday?
It was pretty surreal to watch. I mean, you cover one of these FCS games every year, and they pretty much all go the same way. There have been some in the past where Missouri maybe didn't pull away like you expect, but the games were never close, never competitive after, you know, the first quarter for sure. This one was different. I mean, every time Missouri did something, Missouri State came right back and scored. And you just start to think, okay, this is going to get into a shootout. And more than anything, forget what's going to happen today. What does this mean for the rest of the season when Missouri's going to be playing better competition absolutely every week? So, it was kind of unreal to see it unfold like that. Even when Missouri pulled away and it was up by four touchdowns, it still didn't feel like – it barely felt like a win, much less a really dominant win.
Guys in the wrong places, poor tackling, bad schemes. It was all of the above, right? I mean, it wasn't one thing.
No, it wasn't one thing. I mean, there was some bad tackling out there on the big plays that really mattered. The coverage wasn't very tight. They weren't getting much pressure against that offensive line. You could tell guys were way out of their gaps and missed assignments up front on some of those long runs. I mean, the 75-yard touchdown run, and the guy was barely even touched after he took the handoff. So there was a lot of issues there, and it was pretty alarming to see that after all the talk about how this defense had been much improved over the offseason and the staff changes and all that, we're going to make a change. So I'm really interested to see how they come out this week against South Carolina.
How does that happen with if you have a defensive line where you have Marcel Frazier supposed to be an early pick, and then you have a five-star guy like Beckner who's supposed to be in unbelievable shape? How would that happen against a smaller school?
You know, I thought the line was okay. You know, it was just when they would let somebody get past them, and it didn't happen a lot. It was just a couple long runs. The second and third level is where things really broke down. There was a lot of plays where they stopped the run and just stonewalled them at the point of attack, and I thought the line did a pretty good job. They were able to get some pressure on third down later in the game, you know, late second quarter and everything in the second half, and the line did a really nice job. But you would have thought they would control the line of scrimmage a little bit more, but they seemed to kind of struggle to get off blocks at times, and And, you know, you got to give Missouri State some credit. I mean, nobody thought that that was going to be possible for them to do that. But you would expect an SEC team to be able to control the line of scrimmage for four quarters, and they really didn't.
Has the depth chart come out for this week's game against South Carolina? And if it hasn't, would you anticipate some personnel changes for week two?
It's not out yet. It could be out any minute because Barry Odom meets with the media at 11:30, and they usually release it right before he takes the podium. You know, I don't think Barry has made it clear. He hates depth charts. He hates releasing them publicly just because they don't really reflect, you know, on Monday or Tuesday what he plans to do on Saturdays. I don't think it's going to change a whole lot during the season. Maybe a guy here or there. They're still going to rotate at a lot of positions, I think, especially on defense. And I just don't think that if they're going to make some grand change, I'm not sure they're really going to announce it on the depth chart. We'll find out more on Saturday. But I don't think there's a lot of quick fixes personnel-wise. It's not like they've got, you know, some four-star linebacker or cornerback that they can just plug in there that's ready to go. It was the young guys that struggled mostly in that game Saturday on the defensive side. The older veteran players didn't make the glaring mistakes, I think, that you saw from some of the more untested players.
Do they have guys who were highly regarded playing the linebacker spot and playing in the secondary?
Not so much at linebacker. I mean, they played five, six guys at the three positions and rotated them pretty steadily. You know, Cale Garrett and Eric Beisel rotated in the middle, Therese Hall and Joey Burkett at one outside position, and then Caleb Pruitt and Brandon Lee at the other. They kind of view all those guys as being pretty similar. I thought Garrett played okay. You know, he's a physical middle linebacker, not a super athlete, kind of the same mold as Beisel. I think maybe Garrett we might see a little bit more of as the season goes on. I mean, he started and played mostly the first quarter. But, you know, in the secondary, then Jordan Ulmer is their freshman free safety who looked like a freshman out there at times during that game. He made some mistakes. They got hurt by losing Anthony Sherrills for just a couple plays, but on one of them he came out with a shoulder injury and they gave up a long touchdown. The guy that replaced him, Anthony Hines, made a big mistake in the open field. They're not going to have Cam Hilton for the first half against South Carolina because of his targeting penalty. And frankly, he looked a little shaky in coverage the other day. Was involved in a big blown coverage on a tight end where he went for 64 yards on a catch and run. So, yeah, there's not a lot of great answers back there. There's a lot of bodies, but not exactly any proven stars.
I know it's a little bit early to ask this question because he had a season last year where even though his stats were pretty good, a lot of it was against bad competition. But the Arkansas game, he was good too. But, I mean, do you think, Dave, that next year, at the end of next season, let's say next December, Dave Matter will be saying that Drew Locke is one of the best quarterbacks in Mizzou history?
You know, it's possible. If he makes the progress from last year to this year like he made as a freshman to a sophomore, then absolutely. You know, you don't want to put too much stock in what he did Saturday because obviously it's against an FCS defense, and he was out there a lot more than any Missouri quarterback I can remember against an FCS team. And he had to be. That's why he was out there, because they couldn't stop him on defense. So that's how he's able to go out there and throw for seven touchdowns and 500-something yards. But, you know, he looked really, really good. And even if he's just throwing against air, he threw some really impressive passes the other day and made some good decisions. He got greedy one time, and it resulted in an interception. And it's one of those throws where he knew it as soon as it left his hand. But I think there's a chance we'll talk about him as one of the greatest. But what he has to do that Chase Daniel did is win big games and lead Missouri to championships. Daniel won back-to-back North Division titles, had Missouri one win away for playing for the national title. It's going to take a lot for Drew Locke to lift this program to those heights. You know, we can make the case that he doesn't have the supporting cast that Chase Daniel did, and he's in maybe a tougher conference. Although the SEC North is maybe comparable, SEC East is comparable with the Big 12 North was at the time. But, you know, there's a chance we could say that. But he's going to win games. It's not just about stats.
Dave Matter joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, and the all-new 590 The Fan. What did you think of the excessive celebration call on DeMaria Crockett?
Well, I'm not a fan of what the penalty is for that for that call, that the touchdown points get taken off the board. And I don't quite believe that there wasn't some celebration on his part. I mean, there was nobody. He said he was looking up at the video board and thought that those defenders were closer to him, so he had to dive to get away from them. But to me, it looked like he just kind of ran out of gas and was doing a belly flop into the end zone. I'm not sure he was really doing it to get away from anybody. He didn't have trouble getting away from anybody the rest of that game. So maybe just kind of a mistake on the young kid's part. But I don't like the idea that, you know, the penalty for that is you take points off the board. I mean, it was going to be a touchdown regardless. The fact that they had to, you know, mark off 15 yards from the 2-yard line seems pretty silly. I mean, they're just, you know, taking all the fun out of football as it is. And really, I mean, that, even if that was on purpose, it's not like it was that much fun for him. I don't know what the lesson really is, you know, if to make that a penalty. So I thought that was unfortunate.
The real hero, I think, for this whole Missouri football program, I think the most important person in the whole program, just like I used to say, the most important person for the Rams in the greatest show on turf era, is the offensive coordinator. It's not Mike Martz, but it's Josh Heupel. Boy, this guy's really good at his job, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he definitely has a philosophy and an identity in mind for what this team can be good at. And you look at just the progress that those receivers made from 1 year to the next. Now, granted, it is against an FCS team that it isn't very good on defense. But the way that those guys blocked on the perimeter for each other, the way they made plays after the catch, we didn't see any big drops from the main receivers. You know, again, it's against an FCS team, but Jamon Moore looked every bit as what we've said for over a year now for what his potential could be. And then the way that Locke, you know, played poised, you know, the way he was so accurate with the ball, the way that they develop a running game out of what they want to do offensively, the way they developed DeMario Crockett, and then what they get out of their offensive line. I really think it speaks highly of the system that Heupel has put in. And, you know, I'm really curious to see what he can do against an SEC defense, because I think they've got a chance to, you know, not put up 800 yards or in 72 points, but I think they've got a chance to be pretty elite on that side of the ball against everybody on their schedule.
So it's the key game in the season, South Carolina, as we've talked about in the past, because if you beat South Carolina, you got a great chance to be 3-1 after four games. But South Carolina, pretty impressive against NC State over the weekend. What are your impressions of the Gamecocks?
You know, that game was a little unconventional. NC State doubled them up in yardage, had over 500 yards. South Carolina only had 246 yards of offense in that game. One of their touchdowns was a kickoff return to open the game, I think, for 97 yards. But they managed the game really well. They won the turnover battle. They didn't commit as many penalties. And they just did the things that a well-coached team does to win a game offensively. And that's not what you really think of a Will Muschamp team is winning with efficient offense. But they gave up a lot of yards. So I think this is a chance for Missouri to have another productive game offensively. But they've got some really good players on offense. Their quarterback, Jake Bentley, is a young guy, but he played really well as a true freshman last year. He looked, you know, pretty solid against a good North Carolina State defense. And Debo Samuel, their wideout return specialist, is one of the best in the country. And if Missouri had trouble tackling a playmaker from Missouri State, they're going to have trouble with this guy too. So, you know, Vegas likes this game as an absolute shootout. And, you know, every indication so far in a very small body of work would indicate that it will be.
All right, final thought. Crowd and atmosphere for the Missouri State game, what was it? And then crowd and atmosphere for this game for South Carolina, what do you think?
You know, there were. I think they announced right over 50,000, which isn't great, but for Labor Day weekend, Missouri always struggles to get a big crowd for Labor Day weekend. The students have a three-day weekend. Lake of the Ozarks is right nearby. But you did have a good portion of Missouri State fans who didn't have to make a very long trip to come up to this game that they've been waiting to see for a long time. You figure they're going to have a bigger crowd than what South Carolina brings. So I don't really know what to expect. You know, it's an SEC home game against a division opponent, a really crucial game. Missouri does play exciting football. I mean, this isn't like the days where they were beating UConn 9-6. If you like offense, if you like exciting football, you know, this is a team that you would think would draw a crowd. So can they hit 60? I don't know. I think there's a lot of bandwagon fans out there that are waiting to see what this team does before they decide to jump on. So They might have to win a couple of these games to really see that crowd get, you know, back into the 60s.
Dave, good stuff. Congratulations on the book. We appreciate your time. We'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right, Dave Matter, Post-Dispatch, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. 590 The Fan is partnering with Lou Fest once again this year and offering 1 and 2 day passes for our exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September 9th and 10th. This is brought to you by Bud Light, Bard Louie, and Country Financial. Music acts include Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Cage the Elephant, Run the Jewels, Spoon, Marion Hill, and so many more. For the same price as general admission, listeners have access to their dedicated bathrooms, a private cash bar, sponsored by Bar Louie. The tickets are on a first-come, first-serve basis. You can visit InsideSTL.com and get yours before they are gone. We are broadcasting live from Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. This is the Ryan Kelly Radiothon. Phone number is 781-9700. Ryan has half of his staff dedicated to just accepting your phone calls today. Just make a donation. It'll take 10 seconds, and you'll be doing it for a great cause. Now we're joined by Brenda Wilson. She is a teaching specialist with Shining Star School. Brenda, great to be with you. How are you?
I am terrific. Thanks so much for coming.
So what a great concept. These children who are going to be here and missing school, you make sure they're keeping up. Tell me a little bit about your program.
Well, we work with the school-age kids, so starting kindergarten all the way through high school and sometimes beyond. If they're here for a few days, we go, we check in with them, find out what they need. Sometimes it's just school supplies or to use a laptop. Other times it's tutoring, advocating for them at school. Whatever they need, we can provide.
So they literally, if they're with you and they're diligent about it, when they leave here, there's a chance they're not going to be far behind?
Absolutely. We've even had kids who missed months of school and at a high school even, and we've been able to help them maintain their grades, their studies, and they can just slide right back into school as if they were never gone.
And I imagine for the kids who have to go through so much, you know, a lot of us didn't love going to school at a young age, but here it kind of keeps your mind off things a little bit, and they're probably maybe even more motivated to learn.
Well, some of them.
Okay.
It kind of depends on their age.
They're like the rest of us.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The younger children usually love it. We try to make it fun. Teachers, we kind of modify what the school gives us to help make it interesting and keep it engaging for the kids. Sometimes we're working at the bedside, which can be kind of a downer, but them, it gets their mind off of things, just like you said. And when we come in, we're not medical people. We don't dress like doctors or nurses. We dress like school teachers. We come in with a whole different approach. So it does help them keep their mind off of things, and we're not so intimidating sometimes. And we have a classroom, too. So the kids can come down to the classroom, and we do science experiments and all kinds of fun things.
Do you do it on a one-on-one basis if they can't come to the classroom? I mean, are you literally teaching while they're in the bed? Or
yes, absolutely. Yeah,
wow.
Or for kids who are on isolation, they can't leave the room, so we come to them.
How many teachers do you have involved in this program?
Well, there are two teachers, myself and Shelley Getty. We have this whole slew from medical students from SLU who come and help us. So we have lots of volunteers who come in the afternoons. Medical students help particularly with the high school kids, some of that science and math that I might not be able to teach them or Shelley might not be able to teach them. We also have a couple of retired teachers who come and help. We pass out books to everybody, brand new books that people donate. We give to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is this unique? I mean, do they do this in other hospitals?
Most children's hospitals have some kind of teaching program. It's just different depending on where you go.
And how long has this program been going on?
We started in January of 2014.
I imagine your greatest takeaway from this is when you have someone who you taught and who left and then comes back and they're doing well and they're doing well in school. That must be really rewarding for you.
It is. It's amazing. In fact, we just had a girl I worked with at the end of the week last week who was a patient here. She missed a lot of her high school because of her diagnosis. She spent a lot of time here. She's since graduated from high school here in St. Louis, and I worked with her on her her college letter of application, her college essay. Wow. So we finished that up over the weekend, and it was so exciting to do that with her.
That's awesome. Well, we really appreciate you coming by, Brenda. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate your help.
Brenda Wilson, teaching specialist, Shining Star School, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Okay, we will take a short time out. When we come back, I think we'll have time for a couple of texts. Winning Streak listener line, 855-282-8255. Lion's Choice text line, 855-282-8255. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box, broadcasting live from Cardo Glennon's Children's Hospital.